Right, I reckon we need to go then.
Yeah.
Mm.
Let's do it. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Swingers Club, a social gathering for various golfers hosted by Joe, Matt and Sam.
Ladies and gents, welcome back to the Swingers Club. I am Joe and I'm with Matt and Sam, and of course, there will be some tour chat. Oh, it's been a funny start to this one. But more importantly, we're going to name Sam's dog tonight. But before all that, lads, how are we? All right?
Yeah, good. Eventful week.
It's been an eventful week. Absolutely everywhere. Like, starting with you, you've got a dog. I didn't even know you were going to get a dog. Where the hell did that happen?
To be honest, we've been sort of humming and ahhing it for ages, really. And then it sort of hit home for us that we wanted to do it, and that now really was the perfect time to do it, because obviously my wife, she's working from home for at least the next 8-9 months, really.
Yeah.
And then obviously my time is somewhat, I get random days off during the week, obviously, because that's kind of when coaching's slow. And so it kind of worked out to the point where we, you know, felt like we could take care of it pretty well and get it settled within the first year. And yeah, and then we end up going to get it, and it was random. Messaged the guy on Saturday, someone pulled out of buying it. Oh, this is a long story. And then we went and got it Sunday, so it was well weird, happened very quickly.
Well, it's nice to have the long story and get a bit of background, because we are going to name the dog on this podcast tonight.
I'll tell you what, Holbert has sent me some ropey suggestions.
No, they're perfectly legitimate suggestions.
He said, is it even a pet if it's not named after a golfer? ? And I was like, yes.
the worst thing was, right, in my head, I'm thinking like Seve, Rory, you know, all these cool kind of pet names. And then it goes, it's a girl. So for God's sake. But listen, I've got two questions.
It's a lot easier to name a boy dog, I will say that. I'd like them.
Yeah, boy dog. It's exactly the same with children as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Really?
I've got two questions. The first one is, like, Joe, do you feel like he's cutting us out of his life a little bit? Because we didn't know anything about this dog. It was just like,
yeah.
I think I texted him Saturday, like, you working today? He's like, no, I gotta get a dog. Like, first I've heard of it.
I'm like an iceberg. 90% of my mass is under surface. So I keep my,
honestly, Holbert, you do your second question, and I'll back up your first one.
Now, I think this is a legit question, Sam. I want you to give me an honest answer. And I also know that there's probably about 95% of people listening to this right now want to know the answer to this question as well. Did you get a dog instead of having a baby? Is this one of them conversations where it's like, should we have a baby? No, should we get a dog instead?
Throw Morgan off the scent for a bit.
Yeah.
Not really. I suppose you will. I don't know. I think we probably will have kids fairly soon as well. I don't know.
Podcast exclusive. Sam is having a baby.
Yeah, it's going to be splashed against heat tomorrow morning. Sign the front page.
And we'll be naming it live on the podcast in 9 months' time.
Yep. We could name the baby. Brilliant.
What I'm saying. We are going to name the baby. But we're going to come back to this in a bit. I feel like we're going to keep the audience hanging a little bit.
Is it just because you've had like 8 kids, Holbrook, that you know that you're not going to have any other babies to name, so you've thrown it on me now?
Listen, I'm quite happy. Like, that's done, mate. That's
8 kids. It's
not 8. You are.
18.
Feels like that some days.
Right, did anyone watch the Celtic Classic?
Yeah. I did. I watched the resumption of play, because they like basically finished in the pitch black, didn't they?
Yeah. Did they?
Yep. Yes, they did. Yes, they did, Joe.
it's strange one. Like, obviously, like, it was getting dark and stuff. And what I generally thought it was going to be a Monday finish, given that, like, the European Tour is there again this week. He's like, I know sometimes I need to get away, people need to catch flights, but the majority of people, they're in this bubble in the hotel anyway. All the TV cameras are there, all the staff are there. yeah, it just kind of made sense.
Yeah,
to,
I know what you mean. It's not as though people like need to get away for flights, but exactly. I think they would have done if Sam also didn't hold that putt on 17 to go like two or three clear.
Yeah,
and then you just like, you know, I mean, if he'd have made like a Mr. Snowman on the last to go to a playoff, there would have been uproar probably in the pitch black. But
yeah,
I think after that point, par five as well, I think they'll just like get it done. But when it never looks as dark, does it? On the TV is what it actually does. They always do like the pan back without the lights, and it is pretty much pitch black, weren't it, Matt?
Yeah.
Because I remember looking outside. Indeed. I looked outside at my house and was like, bloody hell, it's really dark out there.
Yeah, it's not that far away. Yeah.
Mm. So, fair play to him. Could be a bit of a player, though, Sam Horsfield.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask you a question about Sam Horsfield as we go out of this bit, but I just wanted to have a couple of quick shout-outs. First of all, Thomas Dietrich, since you picked him, Sam, and he was shit.
Wow, exactly.
Another second place.
I know, it's an absolute joke. And then I picked the hottest man in the world. He's in shot like 30 under par for four rounds last week. Like, makes a cut on the number.
Yeah, I
know. Just like, I'm going to start picking people I don't like. I don't like enough people. I just put the kiss of death on everyone.
There you go. And also, I wanted to give a little shout out to Beef. Because
yeah,
I think everyone wants to see him do quite well. And the tied third this week at Celtic Manor is a nice story for the guy.
Do you see that? He had a greenside bunker shot and he just like bones it into the water. Do you see that? And he's just pissing himself laughing.
There was a few funny things this week actually as well. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but Jordan Smith and his caddy were mic'd up this week.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant.
And they're basically saying it like he could be a stand-up comedian. That his caddy is so funny when he held that part, and Jordan Smith turned around and goes, "Oh, I thought that was missing low for a minute," and his caddy goes, "I was looking at the water."
And it is such a good fit of video as well.
Yeah. There's if you go onto YouTube, for people that are into that sort of thing, there's actually the European Tours YouTube channel. They've got like an 8-minute video of just him and his caddy chatting throughout the round. Very good.
That sounds very, very Matt Holbrook, that video.
Do you know what? As you were saying very, very, I was thinking, I hope he says Matt Holbrook.
Yeah, that's a bit of me, that. It's funny, isn't it? I'm a funny guy. I like funny things.
Another bit of decent content, to be fair, from the European Tour. I've got a bit of soft spot as well for him. Anybody seen Marcus Armitage and Nicholas Coulthard, 14 Club Challenge on the European Tour? That's that came out this week at Celtic Manor. That was brilliant. Joe, seen it?
Very good.
No, I haven't seen it.
Come on, Joe. If you've got 4.5 minutes in your day, Joe, watch that.
I'll tell you what, I will make 4.5 minutes in my day if you send me the link.
Watch that when you're next on the toilet.
Oh, well, that's not 4.5 minutes. You send me the link and I will make 4.5 minutes.
I'll DM it to you when we're done.
The thing is, Marcus Armitage's social media is just funny to be around anyway. Like, he's obviously a likeable guy, but Nicholas Coulthard is actually very, he's sneaky funny.
I like sneaky funny people.
Yeah, he's the sort of person, he's got a very, very dry sense of humour, and you kind of expect him to be like a super serious character, but he's not. He's actually, you know, yeah, let's not forget, you know, it weren't that long ago, he was pinging two irons out the window at Celtic Manor. Mm.
Partial to a night out, from what I've heard.
Anyway,
go on, Joe. What was your Sam Horsfield question?
I tell you what, let's just like whip through the PGA Tour because no one cares about the little tours. Just real quick, before we get back to the main stuff, the Wyndham Classic. Anyone see any of that or not?
I actually did, to be fair, because this new puppy that we've got, we picked it up on Sunday and it was whining like anything.
Oh, have you got a new puppy, have you?
Yeah, I have. Not sure if I've mentioned its life story. Where it's from, breed, how many puppies in the litter. But anyway, yeah, so that sleeping, so the PGA Tour was on and it was well weird. Like, if it wasn't Jim Herman hitting the shots, like a 45-year-old bloke looks, without sounding harsh, looks a little bit unathletic. He's got terrible posture, Like, he just literally just flagged it for the most brilliant finish for nine holes I've ever seen. He shot like 1-2-4 for the weekend.
Jeez.
So it's like,
do you think if that's someone a little bit more sexy, for want of a better word, like, people would be absolutely raving about it on Monday morning?
Well, yeah, probably. So it's just shot into the laughs with like from 2-10. And I've never seen anybody do this before. You know, normally if like a good player hits a good shot, they're like posing it, like holding the finish. He like doesn't hold the finish, and he puts both his hands on his hips, like a double teapot sort of look. And I'm like, he must absolutely hate this. But the pro tracer on it, it's going like straight towards a flag. I'm like, that is so bizarre to look at. And it just hits it to about 10 feet. That's random. But it's
a little bit like Matsuyama when he does his old one hand follow through.
Yeah, a little bit. He was obviously just admiring it though, but it was weird.
It looked, fair play to him.
Yeah, fair play.
There are certain stances post shot that don't look right.
That does not look right at all.
Yeah, I get it.
Very monthly medal to me. I've got a little stat as well, you know, like a stat.
Stats, Sam.
Those were Jim Herbert had two top 25s in the last 13 months, both wins.
Shit, that's a ridiculous stat.
So basically, whenever he gets a sniff, gets across the line.
What a finisher.
Closer,
absolutely.
That's for me. That kind of poses it's probably a little quick question for you boys, really. So, say you're on the PGA Tour, would you rather be that Jim Herman character when he's missed more cuts than he's made in the last 13 months, but he's won twice. So he's obviously making good money. But what player would you rather be? He's obviously picked up like around, I don't know, just under $3 million, I think, in that time. So would you rather be the sort of Kuchar, money-making machine type player, not as many wins, or would you rather be the Jim Herman, get a sniff, you go for the jugular and you get the win?
This is easy for me.
Go on then.
I'd rather be the Jim Herman.
I knew you were going to say
I'd rather have the wins, because I think you're playing at that level. Money realistically is irrelevant.
I don't reckon it is for Jim Herman. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't reckon he's...
Well, $3 million in 13 months is fairly wages.
Career earnings for Jim Herman are like $7.5 million. He's not struggling for a bob or two, is he? But I mean, he's not like generational wealth. His grandkids aren't living off that, are they?
Well said. We're about to alienate anyone who didn't make $7 million in the last decade.
Yeah.
Shit money.
For those of you who didn't know, my coaching prices are $2,000 an hour.
I just think, like, ultimately, when you look back at someone's career, right, you look at Tiger, you look at Jack, we don't ever talk about how much money they made. We talk about how many wins they had. And at the end of the day, as a three-time PGA Tour winner, that says to me that the guy can get it done. And that's what I think it's all about. I wouldn't want to come out of a career at the end of a PGA Tour career and be the guy that's never won. Yeah, made millions of dollars, but could never actually get over the line.
So you'd rather be him than like Tim Clark, who's won like 40 mil on tour but won once?
Think about what you're saying here, Matthew.
He's won 7 million. Tim Clark's won 40.
I know, but it gets to a stage, like, my personal opinion is it would get to a stage where how much more money do you need? Like, if you said to me now, right, I can give you £7 million, I feel like I could stretch that out for the rest of my life.
I can't believe what I'm hearing here. Joe, someone talk some sense into Matthew, please.
Yeah, the whole how much money do you need thing is not a question for me, because I don't think I could ever. I honestly, you see these people win 100 million on the Euro Millions, and I think, I'd need to win 20 times to do what I actually want to do. So I'd go Tim Clark in his 40s.
Yeah, but I'll say, so say for someone who'd won, I mean, that was a ridiculous question put to Matthew, but like, say you could win around the same money within that stretch of time, would you rather be the guy that wins twice or would you rather be the solid guy?
Let's say this, right? You can win the $7 million and win 3 times, or you can win $10 million all through coming top 20.
Yeah.
Never get a win, but top 20s.
Two very loaded questions from each of you. But yeah, in Matt's question, I'm with Matt. Yeah, I am with Matt, because three million versus, you've got to wear the percentages, haven't you? And 3 million versus the 3 wins, I'd have the 3 wins and take a 3 million hit. However, if it was a difference between Tim Clark's 40 million and Jim Herman's 7 million, I'm obviously having £40 million. Call me old fashioned if you like.
Call me. See, my sort of take on it is slightly different. It's like, he's in that time, he played in like 18 events and he'd won. I mean, he'd made like six or maybe like six cuts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think like it's such a professional golf, and I could imagine it being at that level as well. It's probably so, if you are missing cuts, like your game feels like so far away. It's actually quite a low point. You know what I mean? You're kind of you're basically constantly searching. So, it's not as though he's like guaranteed his PGA Tour card. Like, well, he is for a couple of years now, but like, he's, do you know what I mean? He's sort of basically what I'm trying to say is like, I think Jim Herman's day-to-day life is not going to be as luxurious as what most people think.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, definitely.
What was the commotion going on there, by the way? And we're going to pretend that didn't happen. That was ridiculous. Anybody else hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
What was it? Was it mine?
It sounded like a chair was being pushed across the like stone. I just imagine like, In your mansion, the marble flooring, something's being dragged along it.
Joe's £40 million mansion
Jim Herman bought it for me.
Jim Herman. Yeah.
No, I was just trying to change position because my microphone was a bit stuck.
Yeah, we'll let him off.
Right.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Oh, there we go.
You said super easy for you.
No, I think obviously like the initial question was super easy for me, but when you start exploring different scenarios, you know, if you're talking 40 million compared to 7 million or 7 million compared to 3 million, like different scenarios, you are going to think about things slightly differently. But for me, like, it might be different for you guys because of the positions that you've been in as far as your golf's concerned. But for me, like, I wouldn't grow up wanting to win loads of money through golf. I would grow up wanting to become a winner, and then you get the rewards that come alongside that. So the ultimate goal for me, if I was, you know, ever working towards becoming a professional player, like, I'd be focusing on winning. I wouldn't be focusing on winning the money. And then you get the rewards that come with it. And I think that's what drives and motivates players. That's just my opinion. You might tell me, Matt, you're way off the mark. You've never been in that situation, so you don't know what you're talking about.
No, not at all.
Well, the thing is, like, neither of I either. Do you know what I mean? It's not so, like...
I put it to you, like, it's a different you know, I know I appreciate it's a different level, Sam, but let's just say you're going to play Euro Pro Tour next week. Are you going there because you want to win the event, or are you going there because you want to win the prize money?
Win the event.
But don't get me wrong,
the prize money is a nice little incentive.
Yeah, but the prize money is a bystander of playing well and winning, isn't it?
No, I disagree. Chris, if there was no prize money up for offer, would you still go there and try and win the event?
No,
it'd be a waste of time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but that's because that's the difference between being a professional and being an amateur, right?
You're doing it for a job. As is Jim Herman and Tim Clark.
Interesting stance, Joe.
Yeah,
I get it. It's just, you know, it's a fair difference of opinion, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm being a bit silly about it. I'm not being, obviously, I get that some people want to leave a legacy, And I would prefer, if the money was exactly the same, I'd rather be the guy that wins. Even if the money was a little bit less, like I said with the Jim Herman thing, I'd rather be the guy that wins and leaves a legacy. It's more important than money, I get that.
But the thing is, I don't see either of Tim Clark or Jim Herman as the people, sort of people that's going to leave a legacy. Do you know what I mean? Like my kids aren't going to know who Tim Clark or Jim Herman are they?
No.
Need to do a better job at raising your kids then.
But, yeah, unless I force them to watch, like, 2000 PGA coverage, which I'm not. just bring it
up. It'll be like watching the old reruns of Shell's Wonderful World of Golf. What happened to that? Bring that back.
So whereas Tim Clark was buying his grandkids, like, I don't know, PlayStations and Xboxes, whereas Jim Herman's probably buying like a football or something like that, and he's more of the run of the mill granddad, whereas Tim Clark is rich granddad.
Yeah, I'd rather be rich granddad. Sounds more fun.
There you go. All right, we've been waffling about this. 2 minutes. We talk about this, right?
Do you know what? A couple of days ago, I was going to ask you a question about Sam Horsfield.
Yeah, we've all gone long beards and like,
and literally, it's a question for you two because you two watch loads more golf than me. So I am not as familiar with Sam Horsfield and his golf as you two are. However, I failed to miss the fact that he's won twice in 3 weeks. Like, am I missing something here? Like, how good is this guy? How good is he going to be? What's the crack with Sam Horsfield? You two sum it up for me.
I'll open up with this one because Sam Horsfield is someone that come to my attention not last season before last. So he's connected, linked, or very close friends with Ian Poulter. Because Sam Horsfield, being an English guy, is actually based in America.
Okay.
So he's gone through the college system out there, I believe. And this is somebody that Ian Poulter said a couple of years back, watch this kid, he's going to be really, really good. And that year on the European Tour, he got some starts and he actually was solid. In the events that he played in, he did very, very well. And I actually did I did another podcast with Goldshake. With Goldshake at the start of last year. Nice. And with the co-host at the time, Kieran, we actually decided that we was going to pick two players to watch out for last year. And I picked Sam Horsfield because on the back of what he'd done the year before, I thought he was potentially going to kick on quite a bit. He went with Robert McIntyre because Kieran's Scottish, so he knew all about Bobby McIntyre. And last year, Sam Horsfield just kind of floated around. He didn't do anything spectacular. Didn't do a lot. He missed a lot of cuts. And he had a struggle with his game where he was kind of at address and he was struggling to get the swing started. And it was very yippy. And he just weren't able to pull the trigger. And he went away and he worked on it. And he's come back this year. And, you know, what we need not to do, we've talked about this in the past, is we need not to get carried away because he's won twice in 3 weeks and he's not going to be world number one. And how long is he going to... Do you know what I mean? Like, let's keep our feet on the ground. He's a very, very good player. I think his game, naturally, because of what he's grown up in, is probably more suited to the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I would expect him to end up back there rather than carve a career out on the European Tour. But he's very, very good. And he got it done at Forest of Arden. He's got it done at Celtic Manor. When he's at the heat of competition as well, he looks super focused and it looks like nothing's going to get in his way. So I'm not surprised by this last few weeks for Sam Horsfield. I'm not trying to boast to say that I knew it was going to happen, but I've been aware of the guy for a couple of years and I knew what he was about and I knew that he was in there for him.
Very good. Fair enough.
There you go.
What are you saying, sir?
Talk about a couple of days. Another couple of days passed there, didn't they?
I get so much heat on this podcast.
I think I tend to agree with the fact that you can't get carried away. Like, I put that poll on Instagram the other day and sort of said, do you think John Rahm's career is going to be better than Seve's? It's like, and then I even put up like some of the stats, like some of the stuff that Seve had done, like 5 majors, like 50 odd European Tour wins, and everyone's like, oh yeah, John Rahm's going to be better career than Seffi. I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe what I'm hearing. See, it's very easy to say just because he's won like a couple of times in 3 weeks, he's going to be, you know, the next big thing. And that was, I think, I mean, he hits it long, doesn't he? He's a pretty long player. I think he probably looks like, I tend to agree with Matt saying, you know, could be suited to PGA Tour, really. Some of the sources that play on European Tour don't maybe necessarily always suit the Bombers. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I see him being like a top 50 player, but I don't know if I see him being, you know, Ryder Cup sort of level. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
I sort of see him maybe just sort of behind that, really.
Fair enough. So you've answered my question eloquently. And
be interesting to see what the listeners think, though. See what the listeners think about
Agreed.
Let us know.
Yeah,
if it's the same people as on my Instagram poll, they're going to say he's going to be world number one within the next 2 years, I reckon.
Guys, that means get your tweets in, your texts in, your whatever it is in to us at the Swingers Club on all social media, pretty much. Let us know what you think Sam Horsfield is going to be able to achieve in his career, which has started pretty well, I'd say. Right, I think I want to move on pretty swiftly from the two tours. I did also notice that your good mate, Matt, Andrea Pavan, had another belter of a week.
I didn't even look, mate. I was too busy looking at who did I pick last week?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I should know this because he got me a point. Oh, Mr. Ortega, yeah. Naturally.
All right, let's get this out of the way quickly. So Andrea Pavan, who Matt did like to pick last week, was only 19 over for two rounds. He missed a cut, sadly. But Adrian Ortega got you another point. Where did he come?
About 10th. 14,
yeah, 10th, 14, something like that. It was higher than everybody else's. It was higher than JT Poston and Tom Lewis on the European Tour. And to be fair, at one point, he was only one shot in front of Andy Sullivan, and I thought it might be a tight finish, but it turns out it wasn't.
Yeah, it's tough. I'd a bit of... Are we doing picks, by the way, now? Yeah,
we might as well.
Let's so get what is the quick. Score now? I want to get on to the naming Sam's dog. The score is now... You have moved on to 7 now.
Yep.
I'm on 5, Sam's on 3, and the guests are on 2.
How are you on 5, man?
How am I on 5? Because I Andy Sullivan got me a point 1 week and then I got double points the next week.
There's three
and I was on 2 before that. So there you go.
All right, fair enough.
And I keep the fucking score. So it's lucky I'm only on 5 from your point of view, sunshine.
That was very aggressive.
Aggressive, very, very aggressive.
Yeah.
Right. This week's then.
Shall we start with a guest pick?
Yeah,
we can start with a guest pick because we've had one AD Barr on Twitter, am I right?
Yes, he's chosen to go with young Thomas Peters. Actually, it's a good pick that because that was his first competitive golf in what, 6 months? His wife had a baby, and that first event back, and he played pretty solid. Probably just glad to get out of the house, to be fair.
So, you know, you know, I've said in the group that I has two types of gutted about this week's picks.
Uh-huh.
One, because remember last week when I had two reserves and I decided to showboat and go for JT Poston on the on the PGA Tour instead of just going safe on the European Tour. My other reserve was Thomas Peters.
Unlucky.
So always I was fuming about that. But what made it worse was, I was watching the results for the PGA Tour all week and I forgot that I picked JT Poston and I thought I picked Doc Redman.
Unlucky.
So I was following Doc Redman thinking I was doing really well. I'm tied third. And then you said the link with JT Poston. I was like, did I pick him instead? I listened back and I did, didn't I?
Yep.
So all week I thought I was doing really well and I didn't. I missed a cut by miles.
Shocker.
Good story.
Thanks.
All these hypothetical picks when the tournaments are finished is really useful.
Yeah, yes. All right.
So, come on, Joe, who are you going with this week?
This week, I am So I've got three down. My first pick was Thomas Peters, which has been taken by AD Byron. Thank you, AD. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go with one of my reserves, which is Sam Horsfield, because I feel like he's gone win, miss cut, win, and he's got another miss cut coming. So I'm going to go with Andy Sullivan this week.
Andy Sullivan.
Andy Sullivan gets a run out every week. He's like, who's he like? He's like whoever doesn't miss a game in the Premier League. Gareth Barry. Who's next? Thomas, you go, Matthew, or am I?
No, you go, Sam. You go.
That's what I'm like last. I'm going to go slightly left field this week. Go Bob McIntyre.
Love that pick.
Just think he's due some good form, really. And I feel like, why not? I quite like him as well, so he'll probably do all right after this.
Next week, he'll
MC this week, but he'll do all right. He'll have a nice run of form, so good on him.
Lump on Bobby Mac next week. I'm going for everybody's favourite Polish golfer, Adrian Mronk. I told you about this guy a couple of weeks back. I said to you boys about his, I was going down the field at Forest of Ireland. I said, oh, Adrian Mronk is the first Polish player to get his European Tour card. The guy's a bomber. He played well last week at Celtic Manor. He's been playing pretty well. He's playing pretty solidly. My only fear is he might get a little bit of burnout, but it's going to be cold in Wales. He's from Poland. He's used to the cold. We do this right every single week. Every single week, it's a case of let's all sit down and laugh at Matt's pick. And then you come back next week.
The reasoning.
I'm going to bring a big tin of custard next week, and you can put that on your humble pie.
To be fair, he is winning, so he do need to be careful. But anyway, that bit's done, because that's good, because I wanted to get to the main event of the show. Let's name Sam's dog. Sam, you've gone and bought a female dog, am I right?
You are correct, yeah.
And being a golf professional, it is your career, it's your life. We're on the Swingers Club podcast. We need to name it after a golfer of some description. Do we not, Matthew?
We do indeed.
And I'm just thinking that Matt and I come up with one each and we go from there.
Can I read out Matt's suggestions?
Yeah, so
you can pick one, though. Feel free.
Oh, well, I don't get my own shout. I've actually got a genuinely good idea, by the way.
Here are some options for you, mate. Lexi, Megs. Who's that? So Megs after Megan McLaren, isn't
it?
The Dame. who's that Lord Davis meant to be? And the last one, definitely the worst. Creep.
Yep.
Creamer is wasting their breath. That is
the thing. Is I've just got this image of you in the park going, Creamer, come here.
Yeah, that's
not happening. So I ran my idea past my wife earlier, and she even thought it was quite good. So why wouldn't you name your female girl dog after Annika Sorenstam, the greatest female golfer of all time, and just call it Annie?
So beige.
Nah, it's a good beige idea. I prefer Sam's reaction.
I don't mind that, you know, actually. Annie. I don't know.
What do you mean? Well, that's a good idea.
No, it's all right. It's all right, yeah. I like that. It's not bad. Annika.
No, Annie. Just Annie.
Annie, not Annika when she's in trouble.
No, it's just...
Bit formal, that.
Yeah.
Annika.
I think Annie, Matthew, what's the story behind it.
What's your suggestion, Matthew?
Well, I'd given you a load of suggestions. Personally, I would either go for...
I've given you a load of suggestions.
I would, the more I think about it, the more the Dame is growing on me, to be honest.
The Dame. It's not a rapper, it's a dog.
The Dame.
The.
Yeah.
Anything with the in front of it. So what? So is the name basically just Dame?
No, the Dame. That's like I say, like the Dame, like I call the baby, That's,
Sam
that's
can't be shouting the Dame across the park, can it?
No, if you're in the park, you call it Damo, didn't you? Damo, come on.
Dame.
It's a girl. Damo. It's a girl.
Yeah, but then if people, Damo. You know, that's like people that call their I know someone who called their dog Deefa. He's like, what's that mean? Deefa dog. It's like, that's people do that sort of thing.
Shocking.
That's shocking.
Honestly, look, my driving instructor had a dog called Deefa.
Oh, I can't believe you can drive.
Yep.
Deefa.
Yeah, the Damo.
So what's going on? So what's this getting put to a vote, is it?
Well, I don't know if we vote on it. I think, again, it's another one I think the listeners need to... It needs to be golf-orientated. But you could, like, with these days, like, names, you never really know, like, whether a name belongs to a girl or a boy anyway. So I think, you know, you can even name it after a course or...
These days, you're like the oldest 34-year-old bloke I've ever heard.
Yeah,
these days,
you could call it, of course.
Call it Augusta.
Augusta, it's not the worst. Nah, yeah, come on. I'm desperately trying to think of a course now.
So formal for a dog, that
Sawgrass.
Oh, what a name!
No, it's not. Oh,
and if it's been naughty, you call it TPC Sawgrass.
The Trump Turnberry.
Trump, brilliant.
Trump Turnberry.
Right, we're getting.
Right,
yeah.
I'm sure the listeners
can come up with loads better names. And I'm also sure that in Matt's hotel room, he has not got long before room service ends. So we need to get off this podcast. Lads, have you got anything else you've got to say before we leave our wonderful listeners to ping us in some Twitter or Instagram or Facebook ideas of what Sam's dog should be called?
No, I've got nothing else to add.
Make it decent, please.
Awesome. Well, in that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you ever so much for listening. We have been the Swingers Club podcast. We're absolutely loving it. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it's actually called, Spotify and all the rest of it. Get your suggestions in for Sam's new dog's name. It's got to be a girl's name. It's got to be golf related. We can't wait to hear them. And in the meantime, have a great week and we'll speak to you next week. Bye for now.